Today's first reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 to 7, and can be found on page 691 of your Pew Bibles. But now, this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honoured in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Today's second reading is taken from Luke chapter 3, verses 15 to 17 and 21 and 22, which can be found on page 972 of your Pew Bibles. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. This is the word of the Lord.
Elisa is going to come speak to us now.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming to listen to me today. I hope I do this opportunity justice. So since moving to Brazil as a missionary in September 2017, I've been learning and thinking a lot about what it means to be called by God. Some of the learning process I've gone through over that time has been difficult and painful. And as I return to Brazil on Tuesday, I look forward to continuing the journey. Many of you will remember that I originally went out to Brazil to work with victims and survivors of sex trafficking. After being clearly told to walk away from that particular work, I'm now involved with a charity called Compassiva, which means compassionate in Portuguese. And this charity splits its attention between refugees and Brazilians living in the local area. The project with refugees is very big, and it varies from validating the refugees' degrees in Brazil so that they can find work in their area, to helping them organize their CVs and actually find a job, to buying them furniture and helping them find a place to live, and to helping their children get into school. The area that the Brazilians live in next to Compassiva is known for drugs trafficking and violence. And so our work with them is mainly focused on the children. We have a jiu-jitsu project, which is followed by conversation circles about something to do with citizenship and Christianity. We have a music project where the children have an opportunity to learn to play a number of instruments. We also have a project called Kids in Action, which runs a variety of activities from films to crafts, and it also talks about the Bible and citizenship again. And we access the women in the local area through these children's projects. And my focus is serving on the communications team in the office, but also working with these women. And these women aren't survivors or victims of human trafficking, but they are vulnerable in different ways. Most of them are single mothers who face serious socioeconomic challenges, and know what it is to be on the receiving end of violence. We access these women through our children's projects for children in the local area, as I said, as most of them are the mothers, aunts or grandmothers of those children, so there are different generations represented in the group. Currently, we run a weekly craft workshop and we offer them monthly food baskets, as well as offering occasional outings. So just before Christmas, the other volunteers took them to the biggest park in São Paulo, which they'd never visited before, for a picnic. This year, I'm hoping to develop the project to focus it more on employment. That was the original goal of the project, but when I arrived, the volunteers that had been running it were leaving, so it was kind of falling apart, and my role has been to put it back together and redevelop it. So we really want to help the women either integrate into the formal labour market or at least earn an extra income. And Compassiva's work started about 12 years ago, and it was run by people in the church. About 4 years ago, it became a legal charity, so the work has been able to grow a lot since then as we can access grants and things as we're a legal entity. So the work is grounded in the church. Our director is one of the pastors of the church. Looking at today's Bible readings in preparation for today, there were three main things that stood out to me in relation to my life as a missionary. The first was, we are called by God. He is with us always because we're precious to him. Isaiah 43 starts with the words, but now. That but tells us that something else came before, something that might have separated the Israelites from God's love. And this tells us that God's love continually returns despite rejection from his people. Despite our failures and our fears that may cause us to turn away from him, he is faithful. Despite the fears and doubts I struggled through last year, which even at times led me to feel angry with him, he is always there when I return to knock on his door for the umpteenth time. In verse 1 of Isaiah 43, God says, I have summoned you by name, you are mine. A reminder that he creates us and calls us to himself, twice owning us as both creator and redeemer. He also says, since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you, and people in exchange for your life. Though we're living in a very different context, we're not Jews living before Christ came, and we're not one of the refugees that we serve at Compassiva, who know full well what it means to stare death in the face and for another life to save your own. This does tell us something about how much God loves each of his people. We're precious and honored in his sight, and he loves us despite our shortcomings. This is a theme throughout the Bible, and Jesus reminds us in Matthew that we are more precious than many sparrows. As I serve God in Brazil, that is both a huge responsibility to the one who created me, called me, and loves me, as well as being liberating and comforting as I anticipate the challenges and no doubt the mistakes ahead. So my second point is that these promises of how precious we are to God are a wonderful answer to fear. It's not about us, it's about him. He is the one who equips us, so we do not need to fear. In verse 1 of Isaiah 43, God declares, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you." We are pointed again to this theme of redemption in Luke, as Jesus' baptism serves as a symbol of how he is our righteousness, washing away our sins as we choose to follow him and get baptized ourselves. In his baptism, Jesus, the sinless one, identifies himself with sinners. Nothing we do ourselves can give us the righteousness that Jesus gives us through his death for our sins. In Isaiah, this fear not is a command accompanied with promises grounded in this ultimate sacrifice of God's only Son, promised throughout the Old Testament and fulfilled in the New. His promise follows, "For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour." This verse essentially reminds us of who God is, offering a cosmic backdrop to everything we do. My work as a missionary in Brazil isn't about who I am. If it is, it's only insofar as who God created me to be, the gifts he gave me and the doors he's opened for me. Really, it's about who he is. When I was in Brazil before, at times it felt like I was walking through the fire and the flood alone. But the soul searching and praying I've done since then have helped me to remember the truth, that as I go back on Tuesday, I will face trials, but God will be with me. In the New Testament, James goes as far as telling us to consider trials as pure joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and that this perseverance allows us to be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Particularly since moving to Brazil, I found that trials help me remember who God is. As someone who's irritatingly prone to relying on my own strength, sometimes a seemingly insurmountable challenge is what it takes to bring my eyes off myself and back onto God. From being dropped into work with women whose dialect of Portuguese I didn't understand at first, to wondering if I'm really able to abandon my life in the UK, to wondering if I really like the idea of having to fundraise and trusting God's provision in a more raw way than getting a salary at the end of every month, to almost losing Marcus's dad to an aggressive disease last year, all of these things force me to rely on the Lord my God, the Holy One of Israel, my Saviour. Thirdly and finally, everything we do should point to Jesus. When I was first volunteering in Brazil with the charity I was then clearly told by God to walk away from, I was staying with their volunteer coordinator and saw that she'd written down this quote: "We must continually guard our hearts from loving the work of the Lord more than the Lord of the work. Instead of finding identity in who Christ has declared us to be, ministry idolatry invites us to find our identity in what we do for him. If our awe for what he is doing through us surpasses our awe for what he has done for us, we have made a ministry our God." And that's from a book called Designed to Lead by Eric Geiger. Little did I know that soon I would be learning a lesson from this quote. By looking to my own strength, I had ended up making a ministry my idol, which is one factor that made it so difficult for me when I was told to leave. A book I recommend on this was bought for me by Marcos at Christmas, and it's called Counterfeit Gods by Tim Keller. And it's a shocking expose of how prone we are to making idols in our lives. In verse 7 of Isaiah 43, God tells us, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." So everything is for his glory. We are created by God for a purpose. What a privilege that he created us in his image and can use us in and redeem us from our fallen brokenness, walking with us in our fear, helping us to overcome it, and ultimately using it for his glory. Colossians 1:15-18 is reminiscent of John 1. It's one of my favourite passages from the Bible, and it's commonly read out at Christmas. "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead." The word "firstborn" here signifies priority, meaning that Christ is sovereign over creation. The world was created through him, saved by him, and is ruled by him. It is about him, his story, and his glory. It's not about us. And I find that a massive relief, but also a responsibility. Compassiva's work, as I said, is divided into two parts: a big project with refugees, mostly Syrian Muslims, and a collection of projects with Brazilians. As Compassiva means compassionate in Portuguese, our goal is to show God's compassion to the people we serve, in the hope that they might come to know and love the God that we serve. And we do that simply by serving them, which in itself ultimately points to Jesus, but the way we explicitly point to him is different depending on who we're working with. We have to be much more sensitive with the refugees, as Compassiva is a real safe place for them, and it takes a lot of work to get to that stage, and we really have to make them feel safe and that nothing is being forced on them. It is obvious that we're Christian. For a start, we share a building with our church, so there's a big cross on the wall. And this culture of grace that we have as Christians is often alien to the Muslims. So when they find out that we operate based on over 100 volunteers, they ask, why are you doing this? Why are you teaching me Portuguese for free after working all day? Why are you helping me find a job and asking for nothing in return? Why are volunteers from churches offering me free and unbureaucratic healthcare? And that's when we can point them towards Jesus. And there are some really interesting conversations to be had when we base that on how we serve them. With the Brazilians, including the women I work with, it's a lot simpler. Brazil is considered a Christian country, and the women consider themselves Christian. We start every session with prayer, and I want to start focusing more on devotionals and discipling this year. But one conversation I recall from last year involved a woman talking about Buddhism, saying it's the same as Christianity, which led to a very big discussion. So with them, it can actually be more difficult because they see themselves as Christian and they don't think they need saving and they don't think they need evangelism. They don't think they need discipling. But they have a warped idea of what it is to be a Christian. And I think it's very important to point out here that you can point to Jesus in everything you do. You don't need to be called to Brazil or anywhere else for it. I'm the only foreigner working at Compassiva. The rest are Brazilians serving in their home context. And in fact, our social worker who works with the refugees, she felt that she was called to Syria, but then the Syrians came to her, so she didn't have to leave Brazil in the end. You don't even need to work with refugees or with other vulnerable people in your local area, although these are good things and point to God's heart for social justice. But you can point to Jesus at work in the office, in how you interact with your family, and even how you talk to the postman or the shopkeeper. Pointing to Jesus should permeate every level of our lives. And for me, that means from moving to Brazil, to serving my husband, to how I interact with my family and friends back here in the UK, to serving my global neighbour by choosing to buy clothes ethically. For me, pointing to Jesus means that I need to understand the work I'm doing is not mine, it's God's. In Luke, John the Baptist points to Jesus when people wonder if he is the Messiah. He understands that it's not about him. So God called me to my work. He equips me for it, and he knows where it fits in his big picture. So it means when people ask me why I do what I do, pointing them to him. It means when I'm teaching the women a new craft, or how to bake a British cake, or struggling with my Portuguese, pointing them to him, the true saviour, the only one who can truly transform their lives. My prayer as I go back to Brazil is that he will do exactly that, weaving it into his tapestry, whether or not I get to see the change, whether or not I merely get to plant the seeds. So to recap, God calls us and loves us. This is a wonderful answer to fear, because it's about him and not us. And everything we do should point to him. Only then can we be liberated from relying on ourselves, truly basing our identity on who he is and not who we are. If you would like to support me, you can sign up for my prayer letter. There's a sheet in the middle of the church. If you're not already signed up, if you are, that's fine. You're definitely on the list. If you would like to give financially, if you're able to do so, you can do so. Regular giving is helpful because it helps me budget better, but anything is very welcome. Yesterday we did a fundraiser in the church rooms. It was a tea party with a Brazilian twist. It went very well, and we raised just over £300. So thank you to those of you who came to that. There is still a stall in there left from yesterday. There are things on there that are either priced or it's just pay as you feel, so based on donations. Thank you very much.
Well done, Elisa. We'd like to pray for you and Marcos. So Marcos, do you want to come up? That'd be great. And I'll also invite, is Paul Woodbridge here? Yeah, Paul, could you come up as well? Sorry, behind the pillar. So Paul belongs to a home group, and that home group will act as the bridge between Elisa and us as a church, which will be really helpful because we won't be able to forget them, will we? So Paul's going to keep reminding us and acting as that communication and making sure that we pray for Elisa and Marcos regularly and so on. So that's great. So let's just pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Elisa and Marcos. Thank you for their commitment to you, their commitment to this work with Compassiva. Thank you for the women and the families that are being helped and for those who will be helped in the future. Thank you for that reminder that you call each of us and love us, and thank you for calling Elisa to this role from the UK. Thank you for that reminder that you cast out fear, and I pray that you would cast out any fears that Marcos and Elisa have. And thank you for that reminder that we are all to point to you in everything that we do. And we pray that that would be true for Elisa and Marcos as they go forward. So please, Father, as they return to Brazil, put wind in their sails through the power of your Holy Spirit. Lead them on. Keep them safe. Inspire them. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. And as Elisa said, there's a possibility of supporting Elisa financially. There are some envelopes on the middle table, and if it's a one-off donation, you can put that in there and just simply circle Elisa's name, which is already on the envelope. So please do that. If you want to give regularly, then you can also do that by speaking to our treasurer, Piers. Is Piers here at the moment? He was here earlier, wasn't he? Yeah, but if you want to give regularly, then come and see me, and we'll explain how that will work. So please do that. That'd be great.